Here is Rick Smith.
So, former Governor Appalachian Trail Mark Samford evidently had a really lonely day in Pennsylvania today as he kicked off his presidential campaign against Donald Trump. In Philly, he had an event, had his giant piece of cardboard check with, you know, big numbers all over it. One person showed up to that. He went to Pittsburgh, where I guess he was standing outside of a hot dog shop, handing out flyers, shaking hands with people who had no idea who he was. But, you know, got to give him credit. He was still out there and launching the campaign. And probably good for him that nobody knew who he was, because I would have certainly asked where Argentina is on the Appalachian Trail. Just that. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the day's events and the big debate last night, I've asked our good friend Tom Arnold to come back and share some thoughts with us. Tom, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, man, what's going on?
So what do you think? Mark Samford running for president, got one vote in Philly.
Jeez, that's one more than, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. What is happening? Are they even? Rudy Giuliani. Now, you know, let me tell you a story. So last spring, you know, I go up to I'm talking to Michael Cohen. He's right after Bill Barr, right after he gave the Mueller report came out.
Right.
Bill Barr perused it for the weekend.
Sure.
He said, okay, I'm going to give a summary. It's all fine. I call my old friend Michael Cohen. I assume he's a little bummed out. I say, listen, I got to tell you something, man. I told you I'd stick by you. I'd be there. You came through. This is the Monday after Bill Barr, you know, on a Sunday, he said, here's my summary. It's all good.
No collusion, no obstruction, sure.
Yeah. So this is maybe the 24th of March. I'm looking at the dates here and the pictures. And I call him up in Canada. I said, listen, Michael Cohen, I actually recorded the call, made a video and released it to YouTube. But I said, you know, I wanted to thank you. I told you I'd be there for you. And, you know, you stuck your neck out. You testified for Congress. You did all this stuff. And then we went through and discussed a whole bunch of other crimes and things. And I said, I'm going to come down to New York City to see you this weekend. And then I said, listen, Rudy Giuliani is on the outs with Trump because Bill Barr wants him out. And I said, I've been texting with him, you know, the whole time. And I think we get together with him for dinner. And I'll invite Felix Sater and Scaramucci, and we'll take some pictures, and Trump will see him, and then he'll be on our team, just like a year before when I took pictures with you and Giuliani and Trump freaked out. I said that's how we're going to get him. You know, we're going to make sure he stays, that he's out with Trump.
Because, okay.
So I go down there, and if you check my Twitter feed, you can see pictures of me and Michael Cohen, and we're eating, and I'm taking notes from all the different crimes and things, and then all of a sudden, there's a guy named Lev Parnas. This guy he went to school with Felix Sater. Now, if I'm saying names you don't understand or sound a little random, Felix Sater did all the Trump Tower Moscows and stuff. And,
right.
And they went to school together. And
Lev was arrested last week.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Lev, you know, a lot of people involved with Trump, whether it be the Papadopoulos couple or whatever, I've gotten to know. And support on a human level, and also that have documented, you know, video and et cetera, and made shows. And so I make sure their stories are documented from beginning to end. And a lot of people want to be in the movie business. And so this Lev gets a hold of me and says, I want to be in the movie business, Tom Arnold.
Okay.
And I said, I want to make the movie of your life, Lev Parnas. I want to know every bit about your life. I want to know what you're doing right now with Rudy Giuliani, and because Rudy is very excited about it for himself and Donald Trump. In fact, he's so excited that he's convinced Donald Trump it's a very exciting adventure. I want to know the beginning of your life, the end. I think you're a hero. And so let's start writing this all down. Let's put it down. And Michael Cohen is the Ukraine expert from Trump Organization. He's also looking for his sentence to be reduced. I said, I think we're on to something. And then that it began. This left is so here you go. So Michael Cohen began cooperating and helping, and Lev, he got arrested last week, and Rudy's going to be arrested too. That they just went for the craziest, insane Ukrainian conspiracy stuff, and it's crazy. And Donald Trump went for it. He's like, I will believe that. I'll believe everything was just the reverse of what it was.
So this is all because Giuliani, you know, put this on his plate. Though.
Giuliani was desperate, and he's like, I got to get back in there. Okay, here's the real story. In fact, and he also, the real truth is, Russia was paying Lev because they wanted to have a corruption in Ukraine and, of course, in America. And so that they paid him a bunch of money to give money to Trump, the campaign, and just stir up trouble. And so Lev and his greasy partner, Knuckles, they got involved, and it's really all the money comes from Russia, which you will understand when this is over.
Right. So obviously Knuckles is Igor, right?
Yes.
From
and there's a guy from Philadelphia, by the way, that's involved with them. There was a golfer, a professional golfer for a few years, and involved with their business. He actually was in the movie, but he was involved. He's Lev's partner down in Florida in their security, or their, what is it, Fraud Industries. That's the name of their actual company. He's a younger guy, and somehow he got hooked up with these guys. He got arrested today, I believe. And they got Jack Nicholson to have dinner with them. And I'm not kidding at all. I think you probably looked this up.
Right.
And they built a bunch of people out of, $1 million or $2 for another movie. So, you know, by the time I talked to him, he was like, I got to do the movie of my life. Forget Jack Nicholson. I got it. So he was easy. That's all I'm going to tell you. It was easy to get.
Sounds like it. I mean, because I'm trying to puzzle all this together. Because now, is Jack Nicholson involved in the Ukrainian thing?
No, he's not.
Is that the breaking news here?
No, there's no. The breaking news is that there's no, you'll see. But the breaking news was that Giuliani was, he tries to be investigated the whole time from March, the whole time from March on, I'd say February. This whole thing, this is nothing. This is a pretty serious a bunch of crimes that these guys are committing, and there's a terrorism element to it, and as things come out in the next couple of days, and they arrested them pretty. It's a pretty serious situation. So
well, they had to arrest them because they were on a one way ticket out of Dodge.
Well, a lot of people have one way tickets, as you know. They just. That doesn't necessarily mean, but they were getting the hell out of here. I will say that. But these guys, they're sketchy anyway. They're just not very, they're not super smart. And this was their big money thing before they, at least for Lev, before he made the movie of his life. But they just, I think he thought that he could just be here. And people, that's how people do in America. And, especially since he worked for Trump. Huh. I mean, everything will be fine. And everything is not fine, and so he's in trouble, and Giuliani's is in big trouble.
So will the movie of Lev's life be available? Can we get this on Netflix or something?
I just was talking to a friend, from the area there, and they're looking for the notes, and he goes back to his story of origin, but. We'll see if the movie of his life is, we'll see how it ends here.
Could end with an open window, but
I have a lot of notes on a lot of these characters, and there's more to be continued. Bill Barr went to the UK and to Australia, to Italy or wherever with the other U.S. attorney, basically following the book that George Papadopoulos wrote about Spygate, like these. Really weird conspiracy stuff, double checking to make sure that that Trump was spied on by Obama, just crazy conspiracy stuff, and he's over there doing this nonsense, and Trump sent him, but it's all going to be I assume it'll all be fine, but it's just, you know, it's wacky stuff. But anyway, what were you saying about Mark Stanford?
Is it a role that you would consider taking, playing Lev or Igor?
Oh, Jesus. Well, you know, I think I'll play me when it's over. These guys are, you know, because it's Trump, and because if he was a criminal mastermind, you know, we'd be in big trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
But these guys are just so, mid-level, you know, they're so obvious. And, you know, and the reason that Lev got involved with him is because he didn't have any money because of the Access Hollywood tape, the campaign. And then, you know, the Russians knew, oh, yeah, let's put some money in there. They did some things down in Florida. And, you know, he's always been good with the real estate money. They needed an infusion of odd dark money from wherever. And, you know, Michael Cohen was the financial guy for the campaign.
Sure.
And for the RNC.
Yep.
So Michael Cohen knew all of this before. And so when this came down, the guys from the Southern District of New York, the same guys that busted Michael Cohen, are working on this, and the FBI guys, and they're like, oh, okay. Michael Cohen's like, oh, yeah, I'll help. You know, you guys broke down my door. Well, I will help you on this. So they had a roadmap on all this from Michael Cohen, because he was actually the guy that did all this stuff. So he's like, oh, yeah, I accepted the money. So can I get my sentence reduced? And they're like, well, let's talk about this. But he's been great.
I mean, the thing that's interesting to me is, you know, in looking at Giuliani, you would think he'd be better at this, since he did spend a lot of time going after, you know, after mob types.
Well,
this just seems like
happened.
A bad mob movie.
Well, I think if you think that your boss is the kingpin, that you're working for the guy that's way above John Gotti, but also he had some kind of a psychic break. You know, this best friend of his died, that was kind of his moral center, and then his moral compass, and then, you know, his wife was sort of a high roller. You know, and he had some money issues, and, you know, when he did run for president, it did go well, and he had a, you know, when you have an ego like that, I'm not saying I don't have a big ego, I do, but something happened.
Right.
And he had it easy the first marriage. He's married to his cousin for 18 years. You know, when you're married to your cousin,
keep it in the family.
You don't have that much pressure. She knows who you are. You know who she is, literally. It's in your DNA. So, you know, there's not but something happened, and, and I've seen it a lot with a lot of these people where you're like, how could this guy be complicit with Trump? You know, Giuliani and Trump were not besties in the day. Because Giuliani was awesome. He was this great prosecutor. He was, you know, a hero. He did do the right thing at 9/11, you know. But Trump was never that guy, and they weren't buddies. So anybody says, oh, they're long, long, long time buddies. That's absolutely not true.
Yeah.
So
are you arguing that it's the woman's fault? That kind of pushed him in that direction?
Oh, no. It's the ego.
It's the ego.
It's always the man. But, you know, he did terrible things to women. You know, he filed for divorce said he had a new wife when his wife was still in the Gracie Mansion with his son. And they kicked her out of there. A reporter told her, and they kicked her out. I think that was Donna Hanover, who's a very classy woman. And took his son a long time to come back and be friendly with him. Now his son's working in the Trump White House, and he's going to get fired in like a week. And so, good job, Dad. So, you know, all these sons. I mean, Hunter Biden is awful.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, that's somebody that when this was going down, I called over to he's married to somebody that's I don't even want to say here, but I mean somebody
you know.
But it's they're everybody's very close. Anyway, I called over and asked him if he wanted to, Joe Biden is a very decent human being, but all these kids are sketchy. The kids should not be working in the government, and what he did was sketchy. And it's awful, and their family has gone through just awful stuff. But you know.
I agree, but you know, is it illegal? I mean, it's immoral. It's unethical. But is it illegal?
Yeah, I don't think it's illegal. You know, but it's like Bill Clinton flying on Jeffrey Epstein's plane. You know, it's like, what the hell is wrong with you?
There is that.
You know, taking the flight attendant shopping, which I know he did because I talked to the flight attendant. She's like, yeah, he just took me shopping in Africa. I'm like, well, that's stupid and awful.
Because there are no good shops there.
There are good shops. But what is that about? What if you just don't, you know, it's just not okay.
Well, if you listen to Trump's things, you know, you buy her some furniture and you can move on her.
Yeah, that's, Nancy O'Dell is way too good. She is an awesome, by the way. Nancy O'Dell is one of the classiest, most beautiful. I would sell all of my houses. I only have one. Nancy O'Dell, she's one of the women that I met out here in Hollywood that is just too good for anybody. I've been in love with her. Let me just go on record right now. She's one of the most awesome, beautiful people. Just solid gold.
Right.
I'm just going to say this right now. She was Miss something, South Carolina. I don't know what she was, but...
She was something
incredible.
No. So have we made any effort in that direction? I mean, you're free again, right?
No. Are you kidding me? I have two kids. Listen, I had a lunch date with one of the moms at school. I wouldn't bring my kids are 6 and almost 4.
Yeah.
How does that even work? I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna bring somebody. It's gonna be. There is no. I've been divorced 4 times, and I'm happily divorced. Let me tell you something. Divorce is expensive, and it is worth it. This is the happiest I've been in years, and I love being a dad. And I honest to God, man, I put every day I get up and discover things about these kids and go to drive to 2 schools, and it's crazy. And if you know, people are like, well, what aren't you worried about the Trump and the you know his supporters and whatever. I go, man, I gotta drive. I got 2 little kids. I'm driving to school in that traffic. Let me tell you, these moms that I drive in traffic, I drive on Sunset and I gotta cross the 405. And these moms that are driving, we only drive about 3 miles an hour. But if you slow down or take your eye off the road, they will cut in front of you. Sometimes you gotta floor it up like 6. Gwyneth Paltrow and I almost traded paint this morning. We almost had a head-on. These moms are so vicious. Man, when I drop my kid off at kindergarten, if I, like, stop for a second to just take it all in after I hug them, man, they start blasting their horn. They're like, get out of the way. I got to go to yoga. Like, they are so mean to me, man. I tell you, it's rough. These people are, and then you got to get to the next school. You know, being a parent, these kids, man, they're coming at you. These kids are coming at you, too. My son weighs 100 pounds. He's a kindergarten. I just got a karate class. He's practicing it at all times, and I'm 60. So I got to keep my eyes open. So the Trump nonsense, you know, they threaten stuff, but they're meaningless. So, you know, for my country, for my kids, I'm going to do whatever I can.
Yeah, good for you. And that's one of the things I like about you. So let's move to the debate. What did you think of last night's did you watch the
Well,
the...
I can't hardly stand it. There's so many of them, and they're so, you know, I'm just going to be frank. You know, I really appreciate Biden and his son just taking the bullet for Trump. You know, it's like we planned it. We're going to put Joe Biden out there, and then Trump's going to have this crazy conspiracy stuff. Then he's going to go after Joe Biden and his son. And then he's going to get impeached because it's been so crazy. Then we're going to start the primaries. Joe Biden's going to quit, which, you know, let's be honest, he's not the guy.
No.
And Bernie Sanders is wonderful, but, you know, and I don't want to talk, you know, he should be home with his wife, man. That's not what I'm not telling him what to do. He's amazing, you know, and I've got 3 heart stents, and it's not about that, but we need some. We need somebody that, okay, those guys are out. Okay, that's my opinion.
So you've taken Biden out of the mix. Okay.
Yeah, I've taken Biden for sure. Are you kidding me? He's out. Now, if he does say all of a sudden Trump is still in it for some reason, Biden's the only guy that can win, put a vice president that you want, and then Biden quits day one. That's, but Biden is, he doesn't, there's something up. He's just not quick enough. He doesn't have the, and plus this Hunter thing does look crappy. You know, it looks crappy.
Yep.
It's horrible what Trump's doing. It, especially since his kids, you know, are grifters straight up. But it doesn't look good. I'll tell you this, Barack Obama would never have had this happen. Let's just say this right now. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger's kids would never have been in this position. Arnold, it just is something that happens. And Joe Biden, you know, he had these tragedies with his kids. So, you know, so you're not on point at all times. So I can't blame him for that. But you know, Hunter is a screw up. He's I don't think he's ever been rigorously honest about anything. But you know, he's also been through tragedy. But that doesn't make this okay on any level. I'm going to go to this country. My dad's the vice president. I'm getting paid for this stuff, and I'm never going to be 100% honest about stuff. He doesn't owe it to me or to you, but when his dad's the damn vice president, come on, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. But here again, you know, if you put yourself in somebody offers you $60,000 a month to go sit on a board where you don't have to really do anything, do you take it?
No. When Arnold was governor, he was like, "I want you to be the sports commissioner for whatever," and I was like, "That is just too." You know, I'm not going to do that. You know, I didn't do Celebrity Apprentice because I'm like, Trump is an a-hole. That's going to offer me $300,000. I'm like, this just doesn't end well. You have to be Trump's apprentice. Like, there's some things that you just don't do. And if you say to yourself, how could this reflect? That's a foreign country. If they're saying, sit on the board of a Ford Motor Company, I'm like, hell yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm there. Or, you know, some meat packer, I'm like, all day, every day, but they're like, go to, Uzbekistan and be there. That just doesn't look.
Yeah, you're right. Right. Doesn't look good. And let's say in Uzbekistan, they said, hey, come be on our board for a meatpacking company, which you have experience in, and we'll give you $100,000 a month. Would you then consider that?
You just can't. You just can't do it. You just can't. You'd have to. First of all, just the way you said that. You can't do it. It has to be when your family is serving the United States of America. You got to be right in the middle of America. You can't. I mean,
you got to be on the up and up. I get it. I'm with you. Because when the whole Hunter Biden thing came around, I go, this is just bad. I'm not defending this. Right. There are some things I'm just not going to do, and this was wrong. It's not illegal. Immoral, unethical. You know, wrong. All that. Yes, but not illegal.
Right.
But I'm not defending it. It was one of those things where, you know, just like when Jimmy Carter was in the White House and Billy was selling beer.
Oh, my God. But Billy, you can't compare. My poor Billy. I mean, come on, man. It's not just like Billy Carter.
Come on.
Billy Carter.
Buy my crappy beer. My brother's in the White House.
Oh, my God. I love Billy Carter, though. That gave you pathos for Jimmy Carter, though. You're like, I love my brother. I mean, that was, that's Rick, the comparison to Billy Carter. Oh, my God. But you know, well, let's say we didn't learn anything from that, because that was a big deal at the time.
It was huge.
Remember. People were like, oh, that's outrageous.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason I bring it up. You know, you think about how far we've gone in this country from any bit of sanity. When the Billy Carter thing was front page news, it was a huge scandal. To this, to all the things the Trump kids are doing, you know, we were just kind of, business as usual.
Yeah, Neil Bush did some stuff, and everybody has. Yeah, and you know, you feel sorry for the kids or the relatives because you're like, what did they do that they can't go, you know, earn a living? But really, something like this is a direct result of, you know, but it's a lesson learned.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the Trump kids hopefully learned, but nobody's going to hire them.
No.
You know, they're literally, but that's the lesson.
I need my driveway sweeped. I wouldn't hire one of them to do that.
No, well, I know them, and they just are incompetent, and they just couldn't. And, you know, he wouldn't hire them. Let's be honest. He doesn't like them. I mean, he likes the daughter, but he just doesn't. He doesn't like Don Jr. at all. And, man, I'm anxious to see. You know, Don Jr. has a book coming out, and he wishes he could promote it, but his dad, you know, he has that subconscious, I have to destroy Don Jr., so right. I'm going to destroy everything. Yeah. So bad is he beat.
You said he liked the daughter, but I think he likes the daughter too much. That's a little creepy to me.
Well, no, he does have a thing because he never raised the kids. He wasn't around until they were maybe 18, and then, you know, he's such a weird dude, and his mom hated him, and his dad he just had a violent dad, and so he was violent, and he's been especially violent with Don Jr., and, you know, and of course the mom, but so he just has a weird... Well, he doesn't have empathy. He just has a weird thing about. Yeah. I mean, you hear it today, the family that lost the kid in the car crash, and he tried to put them with. He just is weird about death. The reason he brought the soldiers home, because he doesn't like to go to the airbase and see families, see the casket. He doesn't like to see them suffer. It's not even about, oh, I don't want the soldiers to die. It's like, I don't want to have to be standing there when those families are suffering. I mean, I can't even believe what that is. When he describes what it's like, he's like, you won't believe it. These people are sad, man. It's uncomfortable for me to be around there. I'm not kidding you. That's how he is. Somebody at Trump down at Mar-a-Lago, an old man, like an 89-year-old man, somehow slipped and got his head cut on one of the glasses, and he was bleeding out. This guy fell on the ground, and Trump was there, and he got disgusted. He didn't try to help the guy. The guy ended up dying, and he was a very, I forget what he did down there, but he was like a respected doctor, and Trump was grossed out. He didn't even give him a hand, and he left there, and the guy died, and he was like, just said, I can't. That was it was disgusting. He wanted to clean the area up, and the guy died on the dance floor there. And this is a fact. Somehow you can find this. It creeps him out. So he's thinking, I'm not going to go out to Langley or wherever to see any more of these caskets come back because I can't. That's the hardest thing I do. And so to stop that, I'm just going to pull these guys out of there. And plus, you know, I called Carl Bernstein because in 2016, the first thing I told him after I'd been in Russia, I don't know if I told you this, was Trump's friend had told me, you know what what Putin really wants is that base in Turkey.
Right.
And I couldn't, you know, did I tell you this last time?
No, you didn't, but they've got it now.
But the guy that financed the movie I was doing in 2015 is the guy that threw Trump's party in 2013 there at the Ritz-Carlton where we both lived. And he said, you know what Putin really wants is that base in Turkey, and that's the deal with Trump. Get out of there. Let us have that base in Turkey so we can put our planes there. And Carl Bernstein and I were talking back then, and I said, yeah, here's the guy's name. We couldn't find the guy at the time because he disappeared from Russia, and he ended up finding him in Dubai. But I said, he said this about Turkey, and we thought, well, that's weird. That is never going to happen. And I think it's going to happen. I think somehow these shenanigans are going to get our planes out of there. And that's what's going to end up happening here.
Well, to highlight your point, there was a story I was just talking about a minute ago that said, you know, 50 of our nukes are at that base.
Yeah.
That are being held hostage.
Yeah. And yet, you know, how weird is it that Tom Arnold is talking to Carl Bernstein, who was one of the original guys from Watergate.
Yeah.
When I was a kid in Tobo, Iowa, you know, and it was played by Dustin Hoffman. Remember Dustin?
Sure.
Who was my first scene in a movie. Me and Dustin Hoffman, a hero. And then here I am talking to Carl Bernstein. And let me tell you about Carl. He got so frustrated every time I talk to him because he's like, slow down. And the last time he's like, let's not make public our conversations. And I said, well, and I just tweeted something. I go, somebody was saying, you're full of it, Tom Arnold. I go, am I? I am talking to Watergate level journalists, and I get a phone message on my phone. I should probably play that for you. It's Carl Bernstein going, Tom, it's Carl Bernstein. Yeah, about keeping our conversations private, I just want to say there are two, when you say Watergate level journalists, there really are only two of us. And I wanted, you know, I left that message where I'll keep forever Carl Bernstein on my phone. So
did you get anything from Woodward? You got one from him?
No, I don't have anything from him. You know, he's very conservative, Woodward.
Okay.
But Carl Bernstein's enough. And, you know, I love watching these guys still do it. And hopefully they'll get it all figured out.
No, I mean, you're not too fast. I've been accused of the exact same thing. People say, you got to slow down. I'm going, but I got so much that you got to get out.
Yeah, you do. Let me see if I got this out here. Hold on, buddy. Let me see what I got here for you.
Well, it's well worth waiting for Carl Bernstein, man.
Yes, it is.
Hey, Tom, it's Carl Bernstein. If you get the message in the next half hour or so, would you give me a call? I'm a little late in the East, but I'm going to go to bed after about half an hour. And otherwise, let's be sure to talk tomorrow. I just want to catch up with you on a couple things, including the stuff I've just read. It includes the thing about speaking with Watergate-level journalists, but there's some substantive stuff I want to call to your attention. That's interesting. And
I just played that for you.
There you go. Hey,
there you go.
Breaking news. There you go.
No, that's from 4 or 3 years ago. But anyway, yeah. So, Rick, how do you feel things are going? I think they're going to come to a head here pretty quick.
Well, I think they are. I think at some point, Nancy's going to have to do something after today's meltdown.
Yep.
I think, Mitch McConnell coming out today saying, hey, Senate, get ready for an impeachment hearing. It's going to happen sometime before Thanksgiving, and they're going to ram it through as fast as possible. It's going to be interesting to watch how this plays out.
Well, I was in Spokane last weekend doing comedy, and then I spoke to a bunch of other recovering addicts at the VA, and I got some free Nicorette. And the guy that drove me, the soldier that was driving me around, had to blow in a tube to get his car to start, which was pretty amazing. And Spokane, Washington is a pretty blue collar place, and a lot of great working people came out to the show. A lot of great people, obviously people that are affiliated with the VA. And I think that the feeling I had was they kind of know what's happening. They kind of, they've been inundated with stuff. They want something. It's the women especially, they're ready for something to happen, but they need to see it.
Yeah. I think most people are ready for just the pain to stop. The constant onslaught of news every day where you go, can we just not hear his name? And my wife's to the point where she's like, I hear his voice. I just want to jump.
Well, yeah. That's the thing. And also I think that when they see, when they vote for the articles of impeachment, they're going to go around the horn live on TV. And each one of these guys is going to say why they're voting.
Yeah.
They're going to have the evidence right there, just like they did on Watergate. And that's when the American people will have a chance to see at least House of Representatives put it out there. And I think that'll be a game changer, too, because they're going to be very succinct. They're going to say, well, this, and then this person testified. They're also going to start having live testimony on television now, I think probably next week. And then, you have to educate people.
Sure.
But by Thanksgiving, they think they're going to vote. And then we'll see what the Senate does, but I'm pretty sure they're going to have a trial. And then
there's got to be a trial. I mean, the Democrats are going to impeach him. I believe that wholeheartedly.
Oh, they are. Yeah,
there's no question.
100%, yeah.
So I guess the last question I've got for you, do you think there are 20 Republicans in the Senate who have some bit of conscience or some bit of soul left for and really are willing to uphold and defend the Constitution of this country?
Yes.
So you're predicting, just so I get this straight, he's done. He's out.
Yeah, he's out.
All right.
Yep.
I disagree, but you have to come back and we'll talk about this again.
I would be happy to. Thank you, Rick.
Good stuff. Appreciate it, Tom.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
Good stuff. As always, Tom Arnold. There you go. Predicting he's out. I'm hoping he's right. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.